A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in
concentrate
time
on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 292. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are continuing our discussion about Utopia. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello. Yes, Utopia, a darkly, almost, I suppose, dark-humoured conspiracy show from Channel 4 in 2013 and 2014. Two series, 6 episodes each, so that's a total of 12, about 1 hour episodes. It's a strange show. It's full of very stylized imagery. We have to say it's a very violent show with lots of blood. A group of comic book geeks discussing a missing graphic novel on the internet find themselves caught up with a shadowy organization and, in fact, on the run. And I'm sure listeners will know that I like to discuss the odd comic book thing on the internet. So some parts of this hit home, Brian.
Yes. And in this case, we have a rather bizarre and complicated storyline and sequence of things here, which is an interesting one to talk about. So series 2, we talked about series 1 a fair bit last time. Series 2 starts with a flashback episode with the backstory of Jessica Hyde's father, who wrote the original comic book and was involved in some strange scientific advancements. And we get this sort of 1960s episode that has quite an interesting take and almost another look of its own. And it plots out some of the relationships to different members of the network and how Jessica Hyde fits in and so on. We then go back to the present, and Ian has gone back to his IT job. They're also looking after Grant, and Becky has gone off on her own. So our team of people who are sort of the good guys here have split apart and are lying low and are just starting to come back together to move forward into the event of series 2.
Yes, and we've also got characters from season 1 who return, but with strangely changed motivations, possibly, for some of them. So we get characters who we thought were dead come back. We get, I don't think I'm going to give away too much if I say that the blank-faced killer from the first season, because of things we learnt about him, he is back in the second season, but his motivations have changed. Stuff that he's learnt himself means that he is a slightly more conflicted figure and not just the simple blank killing automaton that he appeared in the early episodes.
Yes, he has his own struggles and he's trying to reconcile who he is with what he's been doing and so on. So we get an interesting variation of things with him in the second season.
And as ever, the tricky Milner, the MI5 spook, who is weaving her way through the story, providing clues and what may be disinformation as it seems to suit her. And what about the character of Wilson Wilson, the conspiracy theorist who finds out that it's all true? And even more challenging for him is that he begins to find himself agreeing with the plan, with the aims of the network, even if it means him working alongside his torturer. So quite a journey he has to go on, his character. And again, he will be conflicted and almost changing sides as the series progresses.
Yeah, both the character development and the character journeys and the sort of plots and the story things with conspiracies and so on, it's complex on both sides there. So it's quite intricate, and there's some interesting stuff there. And everything is very much up in the air again as the group is trying to stop the network's sleeper agents from moving ahead with a deadly plan that could cause this large number of deaths for the network's own motivations and their sort of strange worldview.
And we'll see these sleeper agents get triggered at various points, and suddenly ordinary people with families and lives start going ahead with the network's plan and moving strange canisters from one location to another. It's all quite unpleasant stuff in a way when we learn the implications of what they're doing.
Yes, very much so. And what we start getting into is the idea that there are sort of constructed diseases and medical conditions and things that relate to both viruses and the vaccines for those viruses, and vaccines that are tied to problems and conditions that they introduce. And this is also tied to this comic book, The Utopia Experiments. And we find out, and this is where we start getting into more of the science fiction elements of these viruses and diseases and things being used as tools in reshaping the world. And we get some very disturbing ideas in there, and some interesting questions, but mostly disturbing ideas. And some of it gets towards things that are related to eugenics and things like that. So there are some complicated and strange things in here, and it does build some very interesting things.
Yes, let me get into that for a moment, and you can tell me you can stop me if I'm getting too spoilerific, Brian. The network have looked at the possible futures of humanity and have come up with a plan. And certainly in the early part of Utopia, that plan involves encouraging people to have a particular flu vaccine. And in order to encourage people to have this flu vaccine, they are spreading stories of the deadliness of what we think is a non-existent flu pandemic, the Russian flu. In the second series, it gets even more complicated than that, because it then emerges that the Russian flu, I think, might be real after all, and might be even more deadly than what the network are planning. So, as you say, Brian, there are constructed diseases, constructed chemical or biological agents, I suppose, and then all this stuff about sleeper agents who've been living normal lives for years and years and years, waiting for the network to put its plan into effect. It does have some very disturbing ideas about mankind's future.
Yes, the network wants to reshape the population of the world, and we're still dancing around spoilers a little bit, although we've certainly given some. But they are working towards these very drastic ends involving large numbers of deaths and so on. But part of what makes it complex is that they're using not just one method to accomplish this. They're using these constructed diseases, and they're using vaccines, and they're using viruses, and they're using sort of public relations and media manipulation type things, and manipulation of people in government through different means. They're using all these different things to achieve their goals, and that's part of what makes this so complex and intricate.
Yes, and I thought that the backstory conspiracy throughout the long-running X-Files series was confused and complicated, but it's likewise here. And can I just say that as a doctor who spends a lot of my time trying to persuade people to be vaccinated, it is slightly unhelpful when TV shows keep using them as part of conspiracies. But there you go.
Well, I would hope in this case that it's so far removed from anything that can be seen as real that it would not be too influential in people's actual thinking on things.
Yes, absolutely. We hope so. Please separate the fiction from the truth and get vaccinated. Okay. We have, as we've said, Utopia is a dark series with, of course, its notable contrast that it is so colourful to look at. This huge, as you said last time, Brian, saturated colour palette, the darkness, the violence, the implications of the plot or the plot and counterplot, maybe. And I wondered about Channel 4's shows in the 21st century that we've looked at, because for some reason, the one it reminded me of, which came up recently, was, of course, when we talked about Dead Set, the Charlie Brooker satire on Big Brother and the Big Brother house and a zombie outbreak, which...
It's a very different show.
Yes, they are different shows. And of course, I think Utopia is not as relentlessly grim as I found Dead Set to be. And it's certainly, in terms of looking at it, it's a much more bright show, I suppose. And of course, as we've said last time, it's got this strange, almost characterful music that interjects at various points. I suppose it offsets the dreadful reality of the plot, I guess.
Yeah, in a way, the combination of the music and the way this is filmed and how the colors are balanced and so on, it gives it a sort of heightened quality. It's not the same as what we usually think of as heightened drama in terms of the dialogue and how things are written and so on. It's different from that, but it helps give it an unreal kind of quality, which I think makes it work better because it's just different from anything that that seems real. And yes, we're seeing lots of blood, we're seeing throats being slit and people shot in the head and so on, but it's done in a way that does not look like it's trying to look realistic. It looks like it's trying to be, you know, stylistic in a sort of comic book-ish way.
Yes, I think it's a good point you make, Brian, about the borrowing from the comic books with the colours and with the stylized violence and so on, which does provide, you know, some cheerful, well, I don't know if cheerful is the right word, but some brightly coloured contrast to the darkness of the storyline.
Do you remember the film version of Sin City that was made a number of years ago?
Yes, I saw the first one, yes.
And I'm also thinking about the first one. And while it looks different from Utopia, very different, it also had that feel of being very violent and bloody, but in this very stylized way. So it looks more like a comic book version of violence than, you know, something meant to be violence being filmed. And while it's a very different look, Utopia reminds me of that sort of idea that was there in Sin City.
Oh, right. Okay. That is interesting. Yes, as you say, they very much put in the comic book up on the screen in Sin City. So, yeah. Okay. Very interesting. The other Channel 4 show I mentioned in passing, particularly because Nathan Stewart Jarrett was in it as well, was Misfits, which is, you know, much more, again, it's a comic book type show and much more cheerful in a way, although there's violence in there, but more cheerful than, say, Utopia. And certainly I'd rather watch both of those than I would watch Dead Set again.
Yes, Misfits has a lot more humor in it. It's a much more sort of darkly satirical take on things, but does get into quite a bit of violence and what have you. But yeah, some interesting things that have been done there and in all of those Channel 4 shows. That's an interesting point of comparison.
Okay. So it's time for our own thoughts and views and reviews. So, Brian, how would you start us off with something good about Utopia?
I think the look of Utopia, and I'm including the sound in that, the look and sound of it, is gorgeous. It gives us something that is surreal with these bright colors and the music often sort of leading the scenes. You know when something intense and violent is about to happen because it's so clearly cued by the music. And it's something that is very different from anything else we see and hear on TV generally. So I quite like that.
Yes, I have to join you in admiring the look of it, the color palette, these vast widescreen sort of vistas of yellows and greens, the amazing soundtrack that comes in as punctuation. It's great stuff. And I'd commend all the performances. I mean, I think it's all, you know, it's a great cast doing great work. I'm not entirely sure what their characters are doing at various points throughout the stories, but certainly the performances are great.
I would agree. There are some solid performances here and no real complaints there. What do you think about the writing?
Well, it's an interesting question. I almost feel that we'd want to sort of take the two series separately, because in the first series, I think it just about works for me. I can just about understand what's going on. And, you know, it has a story that's moving towards an end. But I think, you know, maybe it was when they realized they were going to get a second series and they have to go back to the conspiracy well again. And it's almost there's a second conspiracy hidden within the first conspiracy. And I felt they were reaching slightly. And I also thought that some of the sort of character flip-flops from the second series were less convincing to me. I didn't feel they really would do that. And of course, it's not Geraldine James's performance, which is splendid, but Milner's motivation, the way she's written. Well, as you know, Brian, from our notes, it baffled me as to which side she was on at any one time. I guess the answer is she's on her side, isn't she?
That's right. She's manipulating things to her own ends. But we do sort of see where she lies on the, shall we say, the ethical questions of what they're trying to do and should it be done or not. I will say, on the whole, I did like the writing. It is very complex, and at times it does get too complex, and the character changes of direction and some of those things are sometimes a little bit too jarring and sometimes work fairly well. It's a bit of a mixed bag, but on the whole, I would say I do like the writing in this.
Okay, so we like the look and the sound, the performances and the writing. We have to talk, I suppose, about the violence and, you know, some of the unpleasant sequences, particularly I'm thinking of the torture sequence and, of course, you know, treading on the extremely controversial grounds of a school shooting is always going to be difficult for any show to tackle. Did you find that the violence and the way it's portrayed helped with the storytelling or detracted from it or distracted you at times?
I think for the most part, it worked for what they were doing. What they're doing is definitely not for everyone. And it's definitely a very particular kind of piece. And the idea that in this game that the network is playing and that various other people are playing, that individual lives become sort of cheap and disposable, that is very much part of this. And I think the way they did it worked, but it's definitely not for everyone, and it definitely sort of limits what they can do and what type of show it is. For this particular type of piece, I liked it, but I definitely see drawbacks with having it there as well.
Okay. Was it too stylish a show in the end? Or was what they attempted, you know, an honourable and successful experiment in the utopia experiments, if I may borrow the phrase?
I actually really like the stylized nature of things. I thought that really worked well, and it made it something that was very different from what we're used to seeing. I enjoyed that a lot. I thought that was one of the strong points of this. So what do you think on that, Eamon?
I struggled a bit more with this show. I liked the color palette. I liked the soundtrack, but the sort of the stylized violence, I suspect it's the violence that was bothering me. And in particular, the blank face, seemingly motiveless gunman played by Neil Maskey is quite terrifying in a way, which I suppose is appropriate for an actor who was in the film Kill List and then now in this. So yeah, I did struggle with it a bit. I don't know if I would say it's a triumph of style over substance, because clearly there is a lot of stuff in there as well. There's good stuff to be taken away from it. But I did keep coming back to the shootings, which bothered me.
Yes, and it's something where either you go with that and say, okay, this is this very strange world and this is what they're doing in this show and just go with it, or if you continue to think on that and consider it, yeah, there are certainly issues there.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I'm not saying that there isn't lots of enjoyable stuff and good work in Utopia. As you say, Brian, you've got to buy into that's what this show is like. It is a, you know, it's the way this particular show works, and the network is a dark, shadowy and violent organization with its particular agenda. And in order to get there, they use violence. So, yes, you know, I guess we have to accept that. It's just that, you know, I did feel at times like Ian in the group couldn't believe that his normal life had been taken away from him. And now this is what they have to do. Now they have to run. Now they have to hide. And now they have to do dark things themselves to survive.
Yes, I think the strength of this show is that it does something very strange and complex and very different, and, you know, it does not back off of what they are doing at all. You know, it really pushes that that concept and pushes the edges on things. And the weak point of it is just the same, that it's this strange and complex show and that they push the edges of what they're doing and make it that very strange and different show.
Okay, certainly a very interesting show for us to discuss here on British Invaders. I guess we're into, you know, making our minds up and recommending it or not to our listeners, Brian. Do you want to start?
Sure, I can start with this. I really enjoyed this show. It is definitely not for everyone, and it's definitely a piece where you have to sort of go with the fact that it's very bizarre and strange and complicated and very violent with people being killed with very little being said about it. And if that's not for you, then yeah, this is not a show you would want to go, we would want to look at. But if you're interested in something bizarre and different and sort of a change from most other things that are out there, I would say, yeah, this is worth taking a look at. It's an interesting piece for sure.
Okay, confession time here. The first time Utopia was actually broadcast on the television, I stopped watching it. So I've rewatched it, I've watched it for the first time for this, for British Invaders. And this time I did find that I did start to see what they were doing. And as you say, Brian, start to understand it and just take it on board. So my recommendation would be, I think the first series is better than the second series. I do feel they were reaching a bit more for a story and a plot for the second series. But the first one itself as a standalone, I thought was pretty good. I'd certainly rather watch it than Dead Set. I think I'd put Misfits above this one. I know they're all very different shows and I'm perhaps classifying them just because of their Channel 4 origins. But yeah, I'd give a thumbs up to season one, perhaps.
Okay, very good. And I would agree with your rankings of those three shows, for sure.
Okay. But of course, as ever, tell us what you thought on the Facebook group. Find us and let us know what you thought about Utopia. Just don't tell me that you work for the network, because I'll be bothered.
Yes, indeed. So, in summary, Utopia introduced us to a graphic novel called The Utopia Experiments, and its sequel, Volume 2, which only has a couple of copies floating around. And we learn that this is more than just a graphic novel, that there are strange things hidden in it related to these scientific advancements and these medical types of things with diseases and viruses and so on. And this group of comic book fans gets caught up in this and have to flee the network, which is this strange conspiracy that is threatening to change the population of the world and do these enormous things that would involve very many deaths, and uses these advanced tools involving these constructed diseases and viruses and vaccines and so on. And we get to some very bizarre things indeed, as we have lots of characters who have journeys where their loyalties and their perspective may change, and we lead through this very complex conspiracy-laced show to some very involved and complicated things indeed.
Yes, complicated indeed, but well summarized, Brian. And do come back and join us next time. To pull back the curtain slightly, as soon as we've finished recording this episode, we're going straight back on to record again. And it couldn't be a more different show, really, Brian. We are tapping the backs of wardrobes, looking for doorways to the magical lands of Narnia, as we take on the sort of glowing reputation of the BBC's Chronicles of Narnia series from the late 1980s.
Yes, shall I say, and now for something completely different.
Indeed, yes.
To drop in a Monty Python quote there. It will be great to look at that classic bit of children's entertainment from the 1980s and 90s, for sure. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our past episodes. If you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you will find our group there, and it would be lovely to have you join the conversation.
It would also be lovely to have you join us at the Voice of Geeks Network for internet streaming radio. You'll find us at vognetwork.com alongside many other shows. British Invaders are proud members of the Voice of Geeks Network.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you as ever for being with us. And until next time, it's Eamon in England, hoping the network are not listening. As I say, it's not a graphic novel, it's a comic book.
Thank you.